The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network and ChicagoBears.com. Download the Chicago Bears official mobile app for up-to-the-minute Bears content every day. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Uber and sponsored by CDW, Miller Lite, and PNC.
Hi, everyone. It's a live edition of Bears All Access from the PNC studio at Hallis Hall. This is brought to you by Uber. Zach Zaidman, 85 Bear, Tom Thayer, joined by a first-timer to our show, the starting center for the Chicago Bears, Cody Whitehair. And before we talk about your background and being a Bear and all that kind of stuff, so there's a locker next to yours. It belongs to Kyle Long. And then there's a locker right next to his, and it has that huge W flag. Cubs fever has taken over inside that locker room here at Hallis Hall, hasn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
Who's the biggest Cub fan on the team?
I don't know. I don't really, you know, follow up with guys on the baseball team, but, you know, kind of a lot of guys follow it. I mean, you know, being in Chicago and, you know, it's a big year for them and stuff. I think everyone's kind of bought in and started to follow them.
Is the topic contagious that look what winning does to a city, look at the support they get? Because you guys get really good support. So you imagine what the future's going to bring when you have the same results and what it's going to mean for the support of the Bears in this organization.
Yeah, that was talked about actually a couple days ago, just, you know, how the city rallies around the team. And, you know, it's obviously contagious, and hopefully we'll start picking up on that.
Did you play baseball growing up?
I did track in high school, so I played baseball.
Yeah, you were a shot putter, right?
Yeah. I played baseball, you know, before high school and stuff, but I was mainly a track athlete.
Right. I think Brian Robeson, too, the defensive lineman from Minnesota, was a good shot putter too. And then in our era, Michael Carter, who was a defensive lineman for the San Francisco 49ers, was a silver medalist as a shot putter. So I think that power in that small space is evident in what it also brings in the small space of offensive line play.
For sure.
All right, let's get down to business, because you can relate to what the Cubs are going through right now with the 85 team and the way the city has rallied around the Cubs right now. Is it similar?
Yeah, I think the city's as anxious for it, and they love the support. And, you know, every time you turn the corner, it is profiling the support of the Chicago Cubs, which I think is neat because I grew up here my whole life. So, you know, when I was born in 61, and then you grow up and you become a participant in football, you see how average or how bad the Bears were during your lifetime, but they have these moments of greatness, whether it's the Doug Planks or the Dick Butkus or the Gale Sayers 63 championship team, the Walter Paytons, and so on and so forth. But then when the entire team has success, you see how you get the support of the state, of the city of Chicago, of the area.
Here's what fascinates me, and this is Bears All Access brought to you by Uber. Cody Whitehair, the Bears Center, is our guest. Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Zaidman. The ability to play at your best when it counts most, is that something that people have inherently in them, or is it something that you have to go through failure in order to get there?
Cody, you always have to play at your best. And no matter what your record is, no matter what the team is doing, don't you feel like every single practice, every single game, every single snap, you have to go out there and play your best?
Yeah, I would say so, and especially at this level. I mean, every day you have to come to work, you know, ready to go, you know, and the level of competition that this, you know, NFL or MLB brings, you know, you have to have a mindset to come with it every day.
You know, the analogy more is like Cody Whitehair and Schwarberg, because here's a guy that comes off of an injury, but when he says, "I'm ready to play," they're expecting the best out of him from the moment he gets there. Cody, the moment you got drafted, you were thrust into the subject of being a starter, and you've been a starter since the day you got here, and then you make a position change 4 days, 5 days before the regular season starts. Were you acceptant of that was thrust upon you as being considered a starter, or did you come in here with that mindset going, "Look, man, I'm a good football player, and I have the ability to be a starter"?
Yeah, I would say I kind of came in with like a chip on my shoulder. I wanted to prove myself that I do belong in this league, that I do have what it takes to be in this league. So I would say I kind of came in with a chip on my shoulder and, you know, ready to work and ready to earn that spot.
And all that work was meaningless when you think about it. And this is what I mean by that. You didn't know that you would be the starting center of the team until a week before the first game. So you do all this work at guard. The mentality is probably a little different, obviously, when you're playing guard. And then right before the start of the season, they signed Josh Sitton. You have to move over. And I noticed that even during that first game, right before the season opener in Houston, you're working with Kevin Mawai on snapping, all the things that you have to mentally get focused to do on the road where it's loud. There are all these things that you probably didn't even prepare for that you have to do in that season opener with 1 week of prep.
Yeah, I mean, it was tough. It was obviously very challenging, but, you know, I have guys on the line that really, you know, put their hand around me and said, you can do it, and we're going to help you through this, and we're going to play as, you know, a fist or as five guys, and as 11 guys, too. Jay was there to support me, too. So it was a pretty easy transition with those guys.
You know, I don't know if you're an NFL historian, but in the 83 draft, there was two guys that came out of USC. Don Mosebar was their starting left tackle that played a career at center with the Raiders, you know, 14, 15 years. And then probably one of the best versatile offensive linemen in the history of the NFL was Bruce Smith. He played offensive guard in college, but came out and played tackle, guard, and center all at a Pro Bowl level. So I think that's the unique thing about you. I do believe the Bears are fortunate to have you in your career, that wherever the offensive line needs the most help, you can go and play that position.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it was kind of that way at Kansas State when I was there. You know, my redshirt year, they were telling me, hey, you're going to play tackle, hey, you're going to play guard, hey, you're going to play right guard, you're going to play left guard. You know, I just didn't know where I was going to play, so I would study, you know, to suit the team wherever best fit.
But, all right, now let me take you back to your senior year in high school. Is it true you had 15 sacks as a defensive lineman?
I don't remember off the top of
my head. That's what I read about you.
It is.
Okay.
We checked.
But now, Cody, why were you an offensive lineman? Why are you an offensive lineman? Did you ever have thoughts of playing defensive line? And if you do, what was your go-to move to get 15 sacks?
Well, I mean, I did play both ways in high school. We were a very small school. We didn't have that many, you know, talented athletes. Plus, I was the biggest guy on the whole field.
Obviously.
I mean, coaches included, right. Fans in the stands, right. You know, whatever. You know, so I would just give the very easy bull rush and just kind of bull rush guys right into the quarterback.
That's funny. Because you were the biggest guy, too.
Well, I know. We had a guy, you know, that was bigger than me on our high school football team, but no one on my high school football team played both ways. And it wasn't because we had too many guys. It was just our coach had a philosophy of having fresh bodies in the fourth quarter, not exhausted guys playing both ways. But when I read up about you, and I always, you know, it always makes me think, you know, you think of the high profile, the defensive lineman, but the offensive line is kind of a lonely world just because, you know, you never get credit for anything that goes well and you get the blame when things go bad.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I've always been that way. I've always been a protector and, you know, my family and my quarterbacks and all that. So, you know, I like offensive line.
Very good.
You guys are going to love this subject. When we come back, we're talking pancakes with Cody Whitehair and Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zaidman. Bears All Access rolls on from the PNC studio at Halas Hall on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. If you're coming to Monday night's Bears home game, don't forget to check out the Miller Lite Chicago Bears Ultimate Tailgate, brought to you by Chicago Tribune Sports Plus, starting 2.5 hours before kickoff right outside of Soldier Field. This is Bears All Access, live from the PNC studio at Halas Hall, alongside Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zaidman. Cody Whitehair, the Bears center, is our guest. Tom, I don't know if you've heard all the different interviews with the Bears players this week, but anytime you mention Jay Cutler's back in the lineup, whether it's Alshon Jeffery, Cameron Meredith, Zach Miller, man, you see that smile from ear to ear. There's a certain sense of life that's been infused into the team. And, you know, you got to work with Jay early on before he got hurt. What have the practices been like with Jay back in the huddle now?
Yeah, it's great to have him back. He's a good leader for our team, real positive guy, takes control of the huddle. Just all the things you need to really keep your momentum going in a game. You know, we're real excited to have him back.
Well, you made quite an impression on him, because when we did the show with Jay Cutler back at training camp, he said Cody Whitehair is one of my favorite players. And I respect that about him, because every one of his offensive linemen should be his favorite players. But to make a rookie an impression on him, and you were playing more guard at that time, you did have a couple snaps at center. But I think that says a lot about you. You know, when you get a veteran that has that reflection from a young guy, they know that you're dedicated to it, and you know, again, offensive line is a grind. It's not always easy to it's not always an easy position to play.
For sure.
And he takes ownership. I think a lot of people don't see this during the game, but I had a chance, you know, my unique vantage point on the sideline to see this. You know, after Brian Hoyer unfortunately went down with a broken arm last week, Matt Barkley takes over, and there's something new happening because, you know, he's working on his cadence with you guys on the sideline right before you're taking the field. I mean, that had to have been challenging.
Yeah, I mean, it is. And anytime you're on the road and you're trying to do silent count and mix in some, you know, snap counts on the quarterback too can be challenging. But, you know, was really, really proud of Matt and how he came in and handled that environment.
And it looked like Jay was going between talking to Barkley, then coming over to you guys on the offensive line to make sure everyone was on the same page, right?
Yeah, for sure. And that's just Jay. That's his great leadership that he brings and communication he brings, you know, so that everyone's on the same page.
Has the crowd noise been different to you? Because you played in some big-time college atmosphere, some big crowded stadiums, but you play in Houston, you play in Dallas, you play in Green Bay. Is the atmosphere similar to you? Or now, you know, playing left tackle and not hearing anything ever, then to playing center and making sure everything gets started on time, has the college and pro atmosphere been different?
Yeah, I think the pro atmosphere is a little bit louder. Of course, you have a little bit more pressure, especially playing center, you know, making sure you get the ball to the quarterback first and foremost before you do anything else. But, you know, it's similar in a way, but it also has its differences too.
Right.
All right, so let's get down to business here. In high school, this is before you started playing in all these big-time stadiums and in the Big 12 and then eventually in the NFL. In high school, you're probably taking on guys that were my size, right?
Crushing them.
140 pancake blocks. 140 during his high school career. Do you remember what you had, Tom?
No, term didn't start coming into vogue until Orlando Pace was playing at Ohio State, and then I started hearing, you know, that stat. You know,
explain to people what a vintage pancake block is like. People don't understand the term.
I think of a pancake block as you're engaged with the defender, and you just pretty much put him on his back and land on top of
you
him.
If you can get grass stains on the backside of the defensive lineman you're playing against, consider that a good thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you remember the first time as an offensive lineman that someone put you on your back?
Oh, that's a tough one. Yeah, I do. It was actually my redshirt freshman year at Kansas State. We were playing Oklahoma, and I was playing left guard, and I was a little late off the snap because it was down in Norman, and it was pretty loud down there, kind of my first loud experience stadium. And I forget his name, but he, you know, came off the ball, and I was a little late, and, you know, I was definitely looking up at the clouds, that's for sure.
But you were born in Nebraska. How did you end up at Kansas State, and did you have any desire to go to Nebraska?
No, not necessarily. Actually, we moved to Kansas and Abilene, you know, real early in my childhood. You know, was there pretty much my whole life. That's, you know, home to me. I was born in Kearney, Nebraska, but I was never really considered myself a Cornhusker fan. I was always a Kansas fan at heart, Kansas State fan at heart. You know, and I watched Bill Snyder growing up, and it was just always my dream to play for a legend like him.
And is that close to home? I mean, you know, because I, you know, for me, I stayed close to home because I wanted my family support, and, you know, I'd get homesick and that kind of thing. Did you do it, you know, basically to stay around your family?
Yeah, for sure. It was only 45 minutes from my hometown,
nice.
And, you know, a lot of my family was in my hometown, so gave them an opportunity to, you know, not have to travel clear across the country to come see me play.
And Kansas State's a powerful school.
Yeah.
I mean, especially in the Big 12, when you think of the Texases and the Oklahomas, I mean, Kansas State's right there with them. And Bill Snyder, you talked about the respect that you had for him and still do. He called you, quote, the hardest worker on the team during your time there.
Because he sweat the most.
You know, I took a lot of pride in hard work, and that was kind of what I built my – you know, my play around was hard work and doing the little things right, you know, focusing on the details. And that's what I, you know, that's where I probably give the credit to my you know, my play today is in focusing on the little things and the details that, that got me to where I am today.
It's something because Jay Hilgenberg, who had experience with Bill Snyder in college when he was at Iowa, they have the stadium named after Bill Snyder now. And it's unique. You play for a head coach, the stadium's named after him. But he also says he's one of the nicest guys he's ever met in his life, and he's got tons of experience through Iowa football and the Bears football and everything else. And is that the same reflection you got off of him? Because you look at him now on the sidelines and you see a lot of younger faces on the sidelines, but here's a guy that's really, he's been around football for a long time.
He's a legend. He knows his stuff. You know, he's with it still very much. I mean, you watch him on Saturdays too, even today and now, then, you know, he still looks like he has it. He still has the passion for the game, and a player like myself loves to see that.
Let's get to this work ethic, though, because I remember when we first had a chance to really talk to you early on after you got drafted, much was made about the fact that, you know, you're country strong, that you used to throw those hay bales around. I mean, is that true? What's fact? What's fiction? How did you become the strong guy that you are right now?
I took a lot of pride in the farm, and my dad's family has a farm. You know, spent countless hours of it growing up with my father and my grandmother and, you know, his brothers. You know, they all worked on the farm. But up until I would go out there when I was in middle school and stuff and help them throw little square bales. And then, you know, as we got a little bit older and, you know, things started to wear down and people started to wear down, my uncle couldn't get as much help from us young kids. You know, he went to the mid-sized bales and had to, you know, use a tractor then. But I helped quite a bit up until about my sophomore year of high school, and then, you know, had to start traveling around to summer camps and promoting myself for the next level.
I can't wait. During the break, I'm going to have you lift Tom over your head, see if you can do it, just to demonstrate the strength. This is Bears All Access. More with Cody Whitehair, the Bears starting center, next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Need a ride to or from Bears home games? Download the Uber app and get a safe, reliable ride within minutes. Head to uber.com/app and enter code BEARSFAN to get $15 off your first Uber ride. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber, live from the PNC studio at Halas Hall on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score, 85 Bear. Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Sadman. Bears starting center Cody Whitehair is with us. And we started talking about this in the break. You're a football guy through and through. So people were asking you, what did you do during the off week, the weekend after playing the Green Bay game? And, you know, some people go out to a show, fancy restaurants, this, that, and the other thing. You are home watching football.
Yeah, and it all started Saturday morning when my old alma mater played, too. Got a great victory over Texas and was really proud of them. And then, you know, going into Sunday, you know, obviously you want to watch your next opponent that you have up and, you know, listen to the commentators and see the wide view of things. You hopefully can pick up some tips.
So do you start watching the pregame shows, all the national pregame shows, Kyle Long's dad on TV, all that kind of stuff?
I don't really, you know, watch the pregame. I just like to listen to the commentators during the game.
And what do you learn from them?
You know, sometimes they'll study film before you have a chance to look at it and can give you a tip of, you know, this guy's predominant move. You'll see him use it quite a bit and, you know, have a lot of success with it. Or, you know, this guy's someone to look at. You know, he's a great player, Pro Bowl player. You know, just little tips like that.
Did you have bye weeks in college?
Yeah, we did. We had two of them.
So you're kind of familiar with what's going to go on next week. And from handling yourself as a college player through a bye week, you've been through that routine before.
Yeah, and obviously in college it was a little more structured and you had a little bit more stuff to do, whereas, you know, class and stuff like that too, where you wouldn't get a chance to go home as much as you would here, obviously.
You know, you've already played a college season, and you still have a whole nother college season to go. And I think that's unique in the rookie season of an NFL player because of the length of time. Do you, I mean, you know, it's kind of a weird question. Do you still feel fresh and or, you know, do you feel like, you know, that break is going to be welcome to you, but then you'll be looking forward to that second half opportunities?
Yeah, and that's something a couple people have asked me this week is, have you hit the wall yet? Have you hit the wall
no.
yet?
And tell them no.
I haven't hit it yet, honestly. You know, my body still feels well. You know, I take a lot of pride in taking care of my body and doing the right things, whether that be cold tub, getting my rest. You know, like I told my trainers this morning, I was like, man, I went to bed at 7:30 last night and I woke up at 7. I'm still a little tired, you know, and that totally normal. You know, you're midway through the season and you still have a whole nother, you know, season of college to go. But, you know, this bye week will help us next week. And, you know, but I feel, you know, pretty good and fresh is for the most part.
You know, the technology that you have an opportunity to use with the tablets and everything, the cafeteria you have to use, the food science people that you have an opportunity to get educated by those people. How much has that helped you from being a college kid that you're going to eat what you can eat? But here, man, it's the perfect structure of food and technology.
Yeah, and it's great. I mean, you come off the field, you have, you know, a recovery table of different things, recovery shakes, you know, chewies, vitamin C, you know, all this that you can take and the drinks that they have to help you recover and refuel your body, along with, you know, the cafeteria too that makes good meals for us and healthy meals to you know, give our body fuel to you.
Have you gained weight?
I've stayed about the same, really.
Do you have to keep yourself from gaining weight? Because the offering of food in the cafeteria is pretty darn good.
Yeah, and it's there all day.
Right, right.
You know, I haven't had, you know, too much trouble with weight gain or weight loss. I've been pretty steady with my weight, and, you know, I don't think I'll have a problem with that.
I don't think people realize, because it's not just the fact that you've already played a full college season here at the NFL level, but it's the fact that from the time that you started your final college year, you didn't have time off. Because right when the season ends, you've got to start working out, doing all the things you got to do for the combine and getting yourself right so you can get drafted at a high position. And then once you get drafted, bam, it's time to play pro football.
Yeah, and I was talking to my dad about this last night. He was like, man, it's crazy. You know, next week's going to be your first, you know, few days off in a long time. And, you know, I went back and I thought, and, you know, after our bowl game in January, and then, you know, you pick your agent and you go train, and then you go to the Senior Bowl, and then you go to the combine, and then you're at the draft day, and then a week later you know, go to your team and you get ready for rookie mini camp and OTAs, and then you're in camp, and or you have that month off and then you're in camp, and then boom, the season's here. You know, it really hasn't been a break for me. So it'll be nice to have a little bit of time to see my family too.
And wait, before he even started his final season in college. So, I mean, we're talking about just this nonstop treadmill of life. You got engaged.
I did. I got engaged. August the 3rd, right before my fifth year.
Were you nervous that, you know, you didn't know what she was going to say?
Well, actually, she was a flight attendant at the time and just got off work. And I was like, hey, you know, I'm going to take you out to eat. And, you know, we're gonna do something a little different tonight. And she was like, oh, I'm so tired. I don't want to do this.
Oh, no.
I'm like, oh, you better get in the car. We're going to dinner. You know, and she got in.
Did you have it all planned out?
I did. We went to Harry's Uptown and had dinner. And then we went to this place in Manhattan called Top of the World and did a little, you know, ceremony at sunset. And she, you know, she didn't want it to do it, but at the end of the night, I think she was pretty
happy. Talking Manhattan, Kansas.
Manhattan, Kansas,
okay.
Yeah.
Hey, when you went to the Combine, you went to the Senior Bowl, were there any other offensive linemen that you looked at and you said, wow, man, this guy's a stud, or, hey, I know that he's getting more higher profile than me, that I'm better. Were there any guys that kind of, you know, kicked you up? Because I remember going to the Combine and I going, hey, I'm ready for this. I feel like I'm better than some of the guys they're profiling higher than me.
Yeah, and I really didn't, you know, obviously I saw the hype and the stuff that they got, but I didn't really, you know, put myself in that and try and hold myself to that type of standard. I wanted to go in there and do my thing and do what I knew how to do. You know, and I felt like I performed well. There was a couple areas that I didn't, and I wish I could have back. But, you know, I'm happy to be here in Chicago.
Which ones?
The bench press, for sure.
Tom's looking at you.
No,
now he's looking at me.
No, I didn't. Why? Were you not happy with the number that you did? Or?
Yeah, for sure.
But it's probably, along with the 40, probably the least most important exercise that you can do.
Right, for
sure.
You
know, I mean, it's not about that. It's about your foot quickness. And
yeah.
It's all about foot quick. That's, I think people get confused a lot of times when it comes to offensive linemen, because you start with your feet, then everything else comes together, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, and that's kind of what we're talking, you know. You get your feet right and the rest of your body will follow for sure.
And can someone please answer this question for me? Since they televise all these events at the Combine, why do they put the offensive linemen in the tightest, smallest clothes they can possibly find? I mean,
Spanx.
You guys deserve better than that,
try to
you know?
Either that or you have, what is that guy? Was it Andre Smith who ran the 40 with his shirt off? That's not a pleasant sight either. So, you know, combines changed a lot. When I came out of college, they had three separate combines. Now they have one combine and the work is done within one weekend.
You know, I think of old school guys like Olin Krutz and what he must have thought when they put him in those outfits at the combine. Man.
He probably said, man, I look good.
So you end up on the Bears. You get drafted in the second round. You thought you'd go higher, didn't you?
You know, I was happy where I ended up.
You can say it.
Jordan Howard. It's a chip he still carries to this day. He's ticked off that he didn't go higher.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you want to go higher, and you know that talk. But you know, I was happy where I ended up, and you know, I really didn't play into too much of that. It was a very stressful night and next day, but you know, I'm happy where I ended up.
I got drafted in the fourth round, and I still say I got screwed. I'm still bitter about it 20 years after retiring.
Let's take a timeout. When we come back, in your head, you don't have a list of all the different offensive linemen that were picked ahead of you, do you?
I don't, no.
Yeah, I bet you Tom does for himself, right?
I do.
Back with more live from the PNC studio at Halas Hall. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. You can help deserving families by donating a winter coat for the Chicago Bears Jewel Osco Coat Drive at participating Jewel Osco locations from October 24th through January 1st. Donations benefit the Salvation Army. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, joined by Cody Whitehair here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber, live from the PNC studio at Halas Hall. And you were there for the press conference earlier in the week when the Bears head equipment manager, Tony Medlin, spearheads this. It's the 28th year in a row that they've done this, and you were one of the Bears players to speak out. And you know, Kansas, it's not the warmest place in the world, so you can understand. And Chicago, it gets really cold here during the winter time, and I know that this is something that's near and dear to Tony Medlin's heart. He might be the smallest guy in the locker room if you're one of the strongest.
Yeah, I think so. You know, great thing that they put together. You know, you go downtown and you see so many people that could be in need of, you know, a coat during this winter time, and you know what a great thing that Tony and the Bears organization has put together.
Right, it's one of the greatest charitable contributions the Bears have put out there, because you said it's the 28th year of doing it. I remember when they first started this, and just the amount, the outpouring of people's, their graciousness in giving. Everybody's got a coat in their closet that they don't wear, they're not going to wear again, they think it's still in style, or you know, that can benefit somebody else. And I'm with you, because you know, we have the luxury of driving through the streets, and you see someone who they need the warmth of a winter coat, and I think it's great, and I hope everybody supports it.
For sure.
All right, let's go inside the Bears offensive line room, because you can give us a unique snapshot scouting report on the different personalities in that room, because you're the guy who probably doesn't say much. You know, that's the way a rookie should be. You're probably like Tom from that standpoint, and you just do your work. But, you know, you've got eyes and ears. You use them. You see what's going on. You've got personalities like Kyle Long in that room. Josh Sitton, who doesn't say much publicly when it comes to us, but he's definitely a talker behind closed doors. Then you got Charles Leno, you've got Bobby Massey, you've got Mr. Tank Top, Eric Kush, who's now lining up to your left, and then you've got
Adams.
You got Mike Adams from Ohio State, who's here, and Ted Larson, who started a fight every single day during training camp. So give us the your version of the snapshot scouting report on each guy in that room.
You got a wide variety of personalities in there, that's for sure.
Who's the loudest voice in the room?
Kush, for sure.
Think about that. The guy started the year. People were watching Hard Knocks.
I watched Hard Knocks, right? It doesn't surprise me.
Flips open the suitcase. All of a sudden, he's taking out all these tank tops, and that's what people knew him for. Now he's a Bear, and he's playing next to you at Lambeau Field. So he's the loudest guy. He's got the weird hair.
Yep, I would say so. And then from there, probably Kyle. You know, Josh is right there with him. Josh just kind of, you know, brings the funny and, you know, the you know, everything to the room that just brightens everyone's day, including Mags's too.
Monday night's game is brought to you by Verizon. The first 40,000 fans to enter Soldier Field will receive a Bears phone screen cleaner charm, courtesy of Verizon. Alongside Cody Whitehair and Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zaidman. It's another edition of Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber, live from the PNC studio at Hallis Hall here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. All right, so now we'll get to the fun stuff, because anyone who was following the Bears during training camp, man, you guys on the offensive line were not taking any stuff from anybody on the team. Didn't matter if it was New England or the Bears defense, and it seemed like every single day when I went on the air and I would talk about what transpired during a practice, the name Ted Larson would come up and there would be some sort of fight. But you were also involved in many of those fights, Cody. You know, remember, Tom, remember when Eddie Goldman lost his mind? There's a helmet being rolled around the floor, and Eddie went off on you, didn't he?
Yeah.
And then had to leave the practice because he was dehydrated.
Yeah. You know, I think it was just, you know, towards, you know, the middle of camp. You know, it was hot, people were heated, and just one extra shove creates an uproar, and people, you know, end up shoving and pushing. And, you know, obviously if you get the last push, you better look for a punch coming next.
Well, you know, I think it was the competitiveness of training camp, because what was it, like 21 guys on the roster that were here this year that were here when John Fox first got here?
Right.
So you mean all those guys are fighting for jobs, including you as a rookie, Ted Larson as a free agent, Bobby Massey as a free agent, you know, and so I think that's what kind of, you know, kind of ignited some of the battles that went on.
How long does it take to decompress, to calm down? Because in the heat of the moment, you know, it's still football. You're getting riled up when that happens. How do you get yourself mentally right so you don't really cause any further damage against a team?
I feel like you have to really train your mind for game situations. And, you know, you have to really think, you know, is this really worth, you know, costing my team, potentially me getting ejected, you know, losing 15 yards in a critical situation. That's kind of where I come from in the whole situation of, you know, if I get punched, am I going to throw a punch back? You know, that always goes through my mind.
Well, you know, too, is an indicator of, you know, what we're talking about is you have a purple fingernail, and it's obviously from getting smashed or stepped on or something. And you can't call timeout. You can't take 5 minutes to recover. You have a 24-second clock or whatever the other.
So it wasn't like baseball the other day where one of the players
guy cramped up and
cramped
they
up.
Sat at second base.
Yeah.
You mean you got 24 seconds to get over it. And, you know, you don't have a chance to say, wow, my finger really hurts and it's pulsating like a heart in my finger. That, you know, you just got to get over it.
What's the worst thing that happened to you, Tom? Like one of those types of painful ordeals where you just kind of, you had 24 seconds to
It was the second to last play of the first half. I went to set my foot on a screen against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I tore my plantar fasciate.
Oh.
And it was like someone stuck a hot knife up my foot. And so I didn't know what I did. So then we run the next play, and I run into the locker room. I take my shoe off. They shoot my whole foot up. They stick a needle into my big toe, into the bottom of my foot, and then they put my shoe back on, and I make it through the second part of the game. But, I mean, it was something that the pain was so intense, but, again, it's almost you have to whitewash it. And, you know, not sitting here trying to talk like a tough guy,
because it
affected me the next six games where I had to play with a steel plate in the bottom of my shoe.
But if you talk to any football player that's played long enough, you've dealt with something. I mean, maybe not that, but I'm sure you've had some issues that you've had to deal with to fight through.
Yeah, actually, turf toe was probably one of the worst. And, you know, it's just so aggravating, and it's always there. You know, and as a lineman, you're always pounding your feet and always, you know, trying to plant and come back this way and change direction this way. And, you know, that can be kind of, you know, irritating as well.
Right. You know, what's the story behind that purple fingernail? Do you remember the instant it happened? Or
I do. It was 2 weeks ago, and I was running an inside zone play to Kyle Longside. And
in a game or a practice?
In a game. And I so happened to put my hand up, you know, trying to strike a guy in the chest, and it was a little high, got him in the face mask, and my helmet crushed in between, or my finger was in between two helmets.
He comes back to the sideline. I remember this, and you're kind of shaking your hand. I thought
it was bleeding initially, and I'm like, yeah, you know, I better dab it on my towel so I don't, you know, get blood all over everyone. But
those are character
builders. But like you say, you know, you're your finger is pulsating. It feels like it really does have a pulse. And but you have 24 seconds to right. shake it off and snap the ball again.
Right. See, that's the thing. He's got to snap the ball. It's not just worrying about the guy in front of him. He's got to use that hand to snap the ball.
Right. And the only thing the quarterback's telling you is you better not get blood on the football. That's going to mess up my grip.
It's always something. What were practices like back in your day?
You know, physical. You know, we didn't have restrictions, and Ditka and Buddy Ryan and all the coaches, they were more in tune with going live during the week of practice. So it did. It, you know, the fights that you have in training camp nowadays, we had fights like that during the regular season.
Your fights were mamby-pamby.
No,
Cody,
they weren't. No, they weren't. Because I sat there. I was at every day of training camp, and I watched every one of them, and I actually liked – Ted Larson, because he was so competitive, and those are the type of free agents you want to see brought to the Bears. And when he came into the game the other night, his first block against against Daniels, it was an unbelievable block, and it was a big run, and that's the effort you want to see. But, you know, we were competitive practices, and we went live, and a lot of times they got into, you know, we saw some great fights and some great outcomes.
What was the best one?
Oh, man, Jimbo Covert, Steve McMichael was one of the better ones. But Steve McMichael made the mistake of taking his helmet off.
Uh-oh.
And he said, hey, if you want a piece of me, he takes his helmet off, and Jimbo punched him in the eye. So, but Ming, you know, McMichael, he's one of the toughest guys I've ever been around in my life. And so you can see what that happened after that fight happened.
Man, what a bunch. I can't believe that from in the trenches during that week that you guys spent practicing against New England, that nothing got out of hand. We know that Alshon got in there, your owner tried to stop things, but, I mean, in the trenches – you guys behaved.
Yeah, it is surprising, because that's, you know, you're constantly pounding on each other, and it's so competitive in there. You're trying to fight for hat placement and hands, and you're trying to run your feet, and, you know, sometimes there is a little scuffle, you know, last second push, or, you know, always wanting to get that finishing touch on somebody, and then it could turn into a scuffle.
We've got to take a timeout. When we come back, the offensive line dinners on a weekly basis are legendary. We'll discuss next with this group. Cody Whitehair is our guest. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Enter the Dr. Pepper one-of-a-kind fan experience sweepstakes at chicagobears.com/Dr. Pepper to win tickets and a VIP experience at the Bears versus Green Bay game on December 18th. Dr. Pepper, always one-of-a-kind. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber from the PNC studio at Hallis Hall. Our final few moments here, Zach Sadman, Tom Thayer, alongside Bears center Cody Whitehair. And one of the traditions for as long as I've been covering the team, probably since before Tom even played for the Bears, the offensive line dinners. Once a week, the entire offensive line, probably the closest unit on the team, on any team in the NFL, they go out to dinner. What have those been like? And as a rookie, do you get the treatment from the veterans? How many times have you had to pay?
I've only had to pay once, and it wasn't too bad. We just got, like, some hors d'oeuvres and stuff. So my bill was only a couple $100. But, you know, you go to a steakhouse and you know, where the other guys pay, where it's $500 or $600, and, you know, but ours is usually every Monday night, and, you know, we'll go somewhere, usually out around in the suburbs, so we don't have to drive down to the city.
That's illegal. The rookies, they got to pay the show, especially when you're a second-round draft choice. You can't be going to an hors d'oeuvre dinner.
That's what they want.
It's a new NFL. Got to watch what you eat, right?
Right.
They say I'm in for it around Christmas when we do our big rookie dinner. So
now,
we'll
do you guys get
That's when they invite the alumni offensive linemen that live in the area.
Sure. Come on over.
The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears with Anthony Adams and Lauren Screeden, airing this week at 6 p.m. on CW 50 in Chicago, or go to chicagobears.com/InsideTheBears to watch segments on the Chicago Bears official mobile app. This week, Akeem Hicks and Lauren Screeden head to Fright Fest. Staley scares guests inside the bear exhibit at Brookfield Zoo, and Jarrell Freeman in Big Guys in Compact Cars. Have you had a chance to do that?
I have.
What's it like with AA?
It's cool.
Did you even have an opportunity to talk? Because he's a yapper.
Yeah, I did. He let me talk. It was a fun experience.
All right, let's have we need a snippet on the Minnesota pass rush, Minnesota defensive front. What do you see out of them, and what do you expect Monday night?
Very good front seven, very sound, gap sound, you know, very physical front seven. You know, it's going to be a challenge for us, but something we're really looking forward to, and a good challenge for us.
Did it help watching the game the other night when you had the Eagles taking on the Vikings, just when you weren't working, just watching the game?
Yeah, I do. I think, you know, you see some different things that you can kind of process in your head a little bit before you get to going on them for the week.
Cody, thanks for joining us. Cody Whitehair, the Bears starting center. For Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Sabin. Thanks to Paul Zerang and Greg Miller for helping us blast through the speakers of your radio. This has been Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Thanks for listening to the Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access. Podcasts are available on chicagobears.com. Download the official Bears mobile app. Bears All Access has been brought to you by Uber and sponsored by CDW, FanDuel, and Verizon.